deserve all the glory. And I pray that this year, as we focus in on what you want to do in us and through us, I just ask even now as we're in the presence of the Lord that we don't want this to be a Sunday morning experience. We want this to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday encounter that we can have daily with you. That we wouldn't just, it's not about emotion, it's about knowing that our God longs to be with us and we want to be with you every day. May you transform those things in our life this year that would cause us to have a heart for you and a heart for others around that we've never seen before. We ask for a transformation. This is be renewed. We don't be conformed, but be renewed by transforming ourselves. Lord, I pray that there would be, our minds would just be renewed in such a way that we don't get conformed to the world around us, but instead we become transformed. The world system, the political system, the viruses, the fear-mongering, and all the stuff that goes on and infiltrates our life every day. Fear-driven media, fear-driven people. Lord, I pray today that we would be people that are not being conformed to that, but instead we step out and say, enough of the fear. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We will not allow the propaganda of the world, whether it's the sickness or money or whatever. Lord, I thank you today that church will be a transforming light in this community. We would be transformed so we can see this community around us transformed by the gospel of the good news of Jesus. So I pray this morning that we talk about your presence and we sing, but we want to live this way. We don't want this just to be an experience we have. We want this to be a lifestyle. So thank you for your people this morning, and we encounter you, and we believe that this is the year for so many of us to step into and fulfill what you called us to do. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As you guys are sitting down at these tables today, and last week I was in Matthew 18, and because I knew I'd only have about 15 minutes this morning, I decided, you know, I told this to my wife when I got home because she skipped church last week. She's here today. I can't say that. I will tell you, a little snot last night told on me for talking, didn't you? Yeah, you told on me last night. Uh-huh, yeah. I was being tattled on last night at the restaurant about me saying stuff about Beth, but... Yeah, but she, I said, you know, I was really moved last week by not only all your responses, but the text messages that came throughout even the next couple days. When we understand, and I think Sharon made a great comment, she texted me throughout later on that day, sometimes the most simple message of forgiveness, the simple messages we encounter are the ones that we need reminded of the most. And I think the statement I'm going to go by last week was this: when we live a life of unforgiveness, we isolate ourselves. And we, to a point where we have the inability to feel loved and ability to express love because those walls are up around us. The other thing, and there's so many times that we don't understand why we cannot have those experiences, is because deep down we have those walls up because of past hurts and wounds. And the other thing, that was one statement. The next statement that I don't know if I've ever quite said it this way, but I asked you a question last week, and then I'm going to start with that question this week. And it's, are you tired of letting everybody around you from your past still dictate your current situation? And that's the problem, is somebody, what they did to you 20 years ago, 5 years ago, or last week, when it's controlling your mindsets the way it is, when are you going to say enough is enough? I'm not going to let what they did to me control me anymore. We allow so much of that garbage that happened to you. And you know what I'm telling you right now? Real things happen to you, and it's real. I'm not denying the fact that you had an abusive this or this or that. I'm telling you, I'm denying its right to have an impact on your life today. We have got to let those things go and let Jesus bring healing in our hearts, and then we can isolate the fact that we don't have to live in pain any longer from those things. But so last week we talked more about that. The focus was about us living a life where we can be forgiving to others, and therefore we can get ourselves free from the bondage of the pain that was caused to us. But the next part that I want to hit that I didn't get to last week, and I'm really glad I had this little, at the end of Matthew 18, if you go down there, it says this, starting at verse So the story we read last week is about the king who forgave this servant of all this debt, lifetimes of debt. And then this servant had one of his servants come to him and had him like a week's worth of a paycheck. He goes, I'll never forgive you. And so the king comes back and says these words. Let's find them here. The Lord said to him, verse 32, chapter 18 of Matthew. This is after he found out that he wouldn't forgive his servant. Then his Lord, after he had called them, he said, you wicked servant, I forgive you of all this debt because you desired me. Shouldn't now have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should repay all that was due unto him. Likewise, your heavenly Father will also do you to you if you do not forgive from your hearts every one of your brother's trespasses. This part right here is this. I want to make this clear. God did not say, well, I'm not going to forgive you no more. See, God has no ability to be unforgiving. So this is not an unforgiveness by God's part. This is the part that says this. And this is where human personal responsibility has been lost so much. Let me tell you, forgiveness works just like healing. It works just like prosperity. It works just like salvation. When you hear the word of truth, you have the responsibility to respond in obedience to it. If you believe today that you are healed because the word of God says you're healed by the stripes that Jesus bore, if you are saved by the blood of Jesus that set you free, forgave you, and cleansed you from all your sin, and if you are blessed because the Bible says you're blessed and all the things the word says about you is true, forgiveness works the same thing. You have to accept it, receive it, and walk it out. If you're not walking out your healing, again, I am here to tell you, we have to walk this out. I believe that God's promises are yes and amen, and then I obey and do what he tells me to do. The willing and the obedient eat the fruit of the land. Deuteronomy 28 is full of, if you do this, then my word will come to pass in your life and bless you. But if you don't, then these things will come upon you. That's what the same thing now Jesus is saying in this parable, in this story. If you don't forgive, the tormentor that was going to be assigned to you for unforgiveness is now going to be unleashed back to you because of the unforgiveness in your heart. Not that God said, hey, I'm not going to forgive you no more. I'm saying because of the debt that you incurred in your lifetime of sin and the consequences of the sin in your life, sure, I believe you'll go to heaven because salvation wasn't revoked. But torment was implied because of disobedience. Torment is a part of the repercussions of not forgiving. God is not the tormentor. He said this, I will deliver you to the tormentors. God does not torment. God does not have unforgiveness. And so some of you in this life right now are feeling tormented. So let me tell you what torment is. Really? I think so too. And you are adorable. And so torment, that's not torment. That's awesome. Torment is simply this. When you hear the name of somebody that wronged you and that knot in your gut occurs, this is just prayer this out of me, and you just want to have these thoughts that are ungodly thoughts, that's torment. God didn't put those thoughts there. God's not doing that. The torment is you allowing that unforgiveness to be settled in your heart or a way that's robbing you of relationship, not only with the person that you have unforgiveness towards, but also towards the people that love you. Do you know the worst part about unforgiveness is just because Laura, being the front, wronged me, and now I have unforgiveness because of something she did, now I look at everyone through the lens of that same thing, expecting another person to wrong me, expecting another trial to come this way, expecting another painful experience here. And so I withdraw myself, and it's not fair to the people who love you and want a relationship with you to pursue you and wonder, why in the world is Adam just being such a jerk to me? It's because Adam didn't forgive somebody from a while ago, and he is now putting, and he's being tormented. And the problem is, many of you don't know the people around you what the torment they're going through regularly. I do not want to see any of you in this room get tormented ever again. And the answer is, don't go back and try to fix the past. Release the past. You will never, ever, ever, ever. I don't care if you sit across, we're going to talk to you a little bit about inner healing and freedom this year. I'm going to tell you right now, not one person in this church trained to do that ministry will ever bring you back to a place. Say, oh, we got to go back to that. I'm telling you, you lived it once, you let it go. There's a way to release it the right way, and that's what we help you walk through, is releasing the trauma associated with the memory. We already know you remember the problem. You know that too. But we're not wanting to. There was a ministry years ago that now we had, thank God, people began to stand up against this ministry because it was getting worse and worse. But it was a ministry that was called Theophosics, and they would actually take you back to your past experience. Almost, honestly, it was almost like a hypnotism almost. Where they would take you back there. Oh, do you see Jesus with you? No! Jesus was with you, but he doesn't want you to relive the pain of it the first time. He didn't want you to go through it. So instead of taking him back there, can't you just tell him to say, hey, Jesus was with you and he wants to heal you. Will you just release this today to Jesus now? We don't have to take you back to pain. He doesn't want you to relive it. He wants you to release it. He wants you to get rid of it. Just like, as I said, just like sickness, just like sin in your life. He wants you to repent of it. He wants you to walk it out. He wants you to be free from it. He wants you to be free of sickness. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to be free from unforgiveness. It's all the same principle. The Bible is so, I wish we could see how simple this was. The way you get free is by releasing it to the Lord. Release the sickness upon the, Jesus took it from me. Give it back to him. Jesus took sin. Give it back to him. Jesus forgave people. You forgive people. Release it and say, Lord, do not lay this to their charge. Some of you are being isolated and blocked and in bondage to relationships, to jobs, to things you're going through in life because of past hurts and wounds that you will not let go of. You have got to forgive. Because if not, the tormentors are coming. And what that was, by the way, that was a symbol of the whole days where every single Friday, if you owed the government money, they would come to you and say, hey, your paycheck's due. Come here. We need to make sure we get our part. Like the IRS does, you know, when you garnish your wages. That's what the tormentors were. They were the IRS. And I'm not joking. I'm just giving this as an analogy. I'm not saying they are tormentors, but because they're doing their job. I'm guessing. So, but the tormentors back then were the tag. They would come in there and they would demand their part. And that's what the enemy is doing every time you walk into a new relationship. I walk up to Stephen, and all of a sudden I have that knot in my gut. The enemy's pulling his part out, going, oh, remember this. And it's isolating you. It's tormenting you. Every time you encounter something new, it's pulling you back to a place of bondage and not allowing you to have freedom. Some of your marriages will be healed completely when you realize what your ex did to you should not be brought to your current relationship. You have got to let it go. You have held on to the bitterness. We talked a little bit last week. Bitterness is that the word means tainted. It means that you're seeing things through a filter, and the outlook of everything now is tainted. So go to Matthew 7 with me, and that's where I want to finish today, is this. This is the second part I was going to get to you last week that I didn't. So Matthew 7. And And this is something that you've heard before, and I'm going to try to wrap it up where I'm not too long, but I also don't want to leave you just that was mostly review plus a little addition, but Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that lest you be judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. That does not sound good. And why do you behold the mote in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? How wilt thou say to your brother, let me pull out the mote, the little splinter in your eye, and behold, but there's a beam in mine? You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, that you should see clearly to cast out the mote of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy on the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest he trample under the feet and turn to rend you. Now, I'm going to start with the last verse, and that is, don't cast your pearls before swine. Folks, some of you right now are awesome, loving people, and you want to go ahead and share everybody what God's doing in your life. Do you know there are times where you don't do that? If something precious is happening to you, do you you know that people have, I have been this person. This is me, unfortunately, to teach. I have shared testimonies in my life where it's like, oh, you'll never believe what happened. It was horrible. And I share this trial I went through and how I got through it. Do you know what others heard? Wow, you went through all that? Something's wrong with you. They didn't hear the fact that I got a breakthrough. All they heard was, man, your life, I thought you were better than that. Because I cast what was precious, what God did in my life, to people that didn't deserve to hear it. Don't cast what's precious, those pearls, before swine. The world needs to hear your testimony, but when you share it with them, keep some of the stuff out that doesn't need to be there. You know, some of you need to know that when I grew up in a great Christian home, and I decided that there's a part of my life that I thought I'd let's just see you living like the world is, and I did a lot of dumb stuff in my life, and, you know, partied and all you name it. Went off to college and got reunited with the Lord, and it's been an awesome journey. You know, there are certain settings in which I share my testimony that I focus more on what this part of it because I know the person needs that part. And that's where you use wisdom in what you share. But if all you do is go around sharing everything, there's a lot of people that might hear and go, oh, you did that? Oh, and all of a sudden, all they think about is that versus what Jesus did for you. Be careful what you bring out to people. Not everyone needs to know your stuff. You know, it's not hiding it. It's called using wisdom. Some of us, myself included, sometimes we just need to shut our mouth and go, thank God I got through that, and I'm going to leave it between us, God. Thank you. And so that's an encouragement there when you're talking about dealing with other people's problems, and be careful that you don't just become that person. But then enough.
Judging. There we go. We got to go to well. So starting verse 1, judge not lest you be judged. There's a great book that I've really, really encouraged people to read over the years called How to Stop the Pain. Kim actually gave it to me years ago. And I will tell you, it's the greatest first three or four chapters of any book I've read, yet the rest of the book is terrible. It's boring. Okay. Sorry, Kim. It's very redundant afterwards, okay? Sorry, she's looked at me like, how dare you say that? See, I should have shut up and not said that. See that? But it uses this thing. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. In your life, you're going to encounter something that is painful. Someone's going to say something, do something. You're going to have a world that something happens to you that you have to respond to. But if you choose to wander in that, you will suffer for no reason. If someone punches me, they punched me. But if I choose to wallow in that and over and play it, now I'm suffering by my own choice. See, things will happen to you in your life that you're going to have to choose to let go and forgive. If you don't, you're going to suffer needlessly. Good book. But it talks about judging this book. And this is really what my heart was this morning. When we judge other people, this book has a great definition. Judging by this man's definition was this. It's when you make an observation, but you add an assumption behind it. So when you're driving down the road, I'm going to go ahead and use my vernacular because this is what I would say if I was driving. That idiot just cut in front of me because he's a stupid driver, and then he's out in the fast lane going slow, and you get all worked over this. Let me tell you something. What are you doing right now? You're all worked over something you can't change. I mean, you can gun it and get around him, which is what I normally do. But you can do those things. But you see, you're making a lot of judgments about that driver that you don't know. They might just be a bad driver. Correct. If they're in the fast lane going slow, they are a bad driver, by the way. Just to let you know that, okay, you are a bad driver if you do that. It's called the passing lane for a reason, okay? I'm teaching you something today. Okay, but different story, different time. But if you're in, but here's the deal. I have been in situations where cars fly around us and you all of a sudden you have no idea what they're going through in their life that's causing them to be that way. But we work ourselves up. And I told you guys a story a long time ago. I used to live at the corner there in town of a very busy intersection. And there was cars flying all the time. But there was one car. They got up into my yard and went around the corner going like 40 miles an hour around a stop sign. They ran. And I thought, why? And I was so angry. I was like, that idiot. I cannot believe it. Could have hit my house. Could have hit my neighbors. It could have been kids playing on the air. I was getting worked up. And, you know, after about 5 or so minutes, the Lord began to speak this to me. Do you know where that guy is right now? I'm like, no. He's probably somewhere on the bypass down 67 by now, doesn't even know who you are. And yet you're sitting in your office ranting about some guy that he doesn't even know who you are. Whose life is being disturbed? His or yours? Mine. When you make judgments about people, you're not, the person you're judging has no clue what you're doing. None. But you do. And you wear that out there, and then you start labeling people. And the thing is begin when you begin to assume the motive, they said that because. You know what? You can make an observation. They said that, and they said it. You don't know why they said it. They did that because. They didn't call me back because. They're not responding to my text because. Whenever you begin to add motivation with your assumption behind the observation, you cause yourself to be in a world of hurt. Because now you're getting yourself worked up over something. And then you know what about 10 minutes later? They call you back and say, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was going to the bathroom. And then don't you feel really stupid by then? You're like, you should have heard what I thought about you. And then you know what? This is what happens. You tell them, which is even more unwise. See, this is what happens when the enemy gets in. You are making judgments and assumptions about things and people and circumstances all the time in your life. And when you make those assumptions, and I'm using the biblical term here, assumptions, what it means is observations. When you assume something about it, you are causing yourself to live a life of a lot of extra pain you don't need. Stop making judgments about people that you don't know what they really mean. The answer is, hey, you know, when you talk to them a week later, I texted you a couple times, what's going on? You know what they might say? You know what, I was busy. Give them grace. Hey, you know what? When you made that comment there, Dad, what did you mean by that? If it's really bothering you that bad, ask them. But if it's not, let it go. If we would learn more in this word is letting things go than letting things simmer. Letting things simmer is never good for your spiritual walk with God. Letting it simmer just causes you to replay it, remind yourself of it, and live out pain that you have no right to be living out. So, when it comes to forgiveness last week, and I'm almost done. We got to live our life a way where we're not only forgiving others, but when we have to give the grace, because when you get offended by something that's said or an assumption you make about somebody, all you're doing is isolating yourself from them also. If you don't notice, there's something about unforgiveness and judgment that's really key, and that is the fruit of both is isolation. Do you know how many church folks right now have isolated themselves from other people, family members, whatever, because of these issues right here? Something was done or said that was not forgiven or judged, and now you pulled yourself away from them, and you're living your life very isolated and alone because of these decisions in your life. I really believe with everything in my heart, we do not have the luxury of living out any longer this way. We've got to let them go. We got to let these things go. Judge not, lest you be judged. Because here's the other thing about judgments. Ready? The same measure you judge gets put back on you. So then the judgment is, well, fine. I'm never going to be like that idiot again. And you know what you do? You become that person. Because that's what Scripture says. The same measure you judge, you become. So what happens is your judgment has caused you to go put yourself in the same bondage you criticize and judge others to be. And this cycle needs to stop today in all of our lives. And the way you stop it, ready for this? It's a tough one. Repent. Repent for the judgments you made about the people around you. Repent. You know, one of the things that we do it with Christians all the time. I can't stand that Benny Hinn's name I mentioned so many years. I'll use his because I don't want to hurt any feelings right now. But Benny Hinn, boy, he was a very flamboyant guy. And you know what? A lot of people didn't like him. He said some very funny things at times. But you know what he did? He had a real ministry too. And so many people would judge that man. And so when he judged that man, see, we're normally at church by now. That's why my phone's ringing. And so when you judge somebody, you get to a point where all of a sudden everyone like him is also the same way. And you don't get to receive that what God could have good truth for you. You isolate that from something good. So years ago, Beth and I were in Tampa, Florida, at a Benny Hinn meeting. And right in the middle of that awesome, amazing worship service, we're up there. And Beth looks over at me, and I don't, did you say it was audible? She asked me if I heard that. I'm like, no, are you a psycho? No, I didn't say psycho. I meant it in my head, though. I was like, no. And she said, you didn't hear what I just heard. I said, no. And she said, well, the Lord just spoke to me and said, I'm pregnant with a boy. So now I definitely didn't hear that. And we went home, and she was pregnant. You know, it's cool. We're in an amazing atmosphere worshiping, and the Lord was just, she was worshiping, talking to God, and God decided to share something with her really cool. You know what? That was at a Benny Hinn meeting. I'll never forget. So anybody with opinions, you want a Benny Hinn? I don't care. You know what my memory of Benny Hinn is? Finding out my wife was pregnant. But you know what's cool? We went there just because we wanted to receive from the Lord. And what I received from the Lord that night was nothing that I went there expecting, except I wanted to be in the presence of God. We were on vacation. We heard he was in town. And we just said, let's go. You know, we got to be careful that we don't isolate ourselves from a place that God could bless you at. Or maybe come into a men's group or a women's group or come into a prayer group on Tuesday night. You know, when we start engaging yourself with people and stop judging what you think it might be like, come out there and receive. You can really get blessed from this. I want to encourage you, get these walls down in your life. Let's pull them down. We have no room for that. You know what? The people around you deserve better from you, and you deserve better for yourself. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. We've let the past ruin our future long enough. So we need to go and break off every judgment. We need to forgive everyone who's hurt you. And we need to get out of the cycle of the pain cycle and get into the healing cycle and allow ourselves to walk free out of this room today. Amen? So that's my message for you last week and this week. I know it's a little redundant, but I just feel like, you know what, let's hammer this in there and let's add the thing about judging. So I'm going to lead you into prayer right now. And I'm going to do, as you do this, and the worship, you can stay down, it's fine. I know we're late, so we're going to do it this way. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and like I did last week, just agree with me. Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus today, that as we are here gathered to hear from you, that we would just hear from our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to those things in our life. And even now, as I think about some of the judgments I've made towards people that have hurt me, or judgments I've made about things in my life, or areas of unforgiveness, today I choose to release those people. And if this is you right now, like we did last week, let's just start here. Anybody who has wronged you, as the Holy Spirit's bringing back remembrance right now, just simply say, Lord, I forgive. Use their name. I forgive Bob from my heart, and I let him go today. I release him from my heart. Let's get rid of those things in our life that's causing you to be tormented once and for all. And the avenue is forgiveness. I forgive those people for what they did. And I don't lay it at their charge anymore. I let you, Jesus, take care of it how you want. And now the next one here, ready? For all the judgments you made about the people around you, the pain that you caused, it's simply this. Lord, today I repent for judging. And as you want to fill in the blanks throughout the week in your prayer time, and even right now, you're welcome to. If the Holy Spirit's bringing a name to you, get it done now. I repent for judging my mom, my dad, my siblings. I repent for judging them and making observations about them that have implied so much pain in my life. I let it go right now. I break the power of that judgment that has cursed my life because I'm set free from every curse, even the ones I've spoken over myself. I'm free in Jesus' name because you took those things upon the cross for me, and I repent of every judgment I've made towards those people now in Jesus' name. And I'm going to say amen because that's all it is. It's that quickly. Just repent. And again, I'm gonna invite you again like I did last week. If any of you are wrestling with some things and deep down you know it's more, and you don't want, and you're like, hey, listen, I could use someone to talk to, call the office. We'll get you in touch with either Kim or Beth. We'll talk more about that as the weeks to come. We really want people to get this life free of the stuff that we've done before. Amen? So fasting starts either like now or tomorrow morning. I don't care. If you'd like to join us, great. If not, eat away and eat a cheeseburger for me this week. So anyways, be blessed this week. And if you would like prayer, I know Kimberly will put some music on the background. If you would like prayer, or someone even to agree with you right now that something's stirring in you, don't walk out of here feeling stirred up. Just be released to do that. Amen.